A Chip's Edge by A.C. Danvers. Scylla continued to watch breathlessly as Isla gently brought the 4 and 3 into dock along the outer ring of the station. As the clamps grasped the ship and it settled into place, Alvis rang the intercom to inform the captain that they had successfully docked. 3 sounded the chime on the intercom and began to speak again in the polite sing-song register of a customer service rep. Good evening, passengers, and welcome to Calix Gate Station. We'll be docking here for rest and refueling for approximately 4 local hours. Passengers continuing on to the Galaxy's Chip Casino Tour, please be sure to return by local time 27:30 to ensure easy boarding. Those departing to continue on to other destinations, we do remind you that this vessel cannot offer transfer tickets, so please inquire about onward fares with the local ticket office. Thank you for flying with us, and enjoy your time at Calix Gate. The intercom switched off with a click that seemed to snap Scylla out of her reverie. With the station and the gate now mostly out of view, she could once again begin to take in her surroundings and situation, and the feeling was uncomfortable. She rolled her shoulders and neck and felt the fabric of her clothes shift uncomfortably against her body. The crew was beginning to rise from their stations, and as her visual focus returned with a shake of the head, she turned to catch 3's glance.
Captain, do you know where I might find some new clothes on the station? I didn't exactly have time to pack before I left.
I can help with that, Isla piped up. Been here a few times. I think I still know where the good shops are.
Excellent idea, 3 concurred.
Isla can keep an eye out for you. We still don't know what kind of heat you brought with you after the colony.
Scylla nodded, honestly relieved to have the company.
It's settled then. You two go on ahead. I'll get the ship squared away and do a little poking around and find out what our new inspector friend got up to after we left.
Scylla and Isla disembarked, stopping to greet Alvis on the way out, who was remaining behind to secure the ship and be prepared to welcome any early returning passengers. The two made their way through the corridors of the inner ring, passing through entry control without obvious trouble, until finally reaching the station's vast central atrium. More closely resembling a great domed city within the station's walls, the atrium was littered with shops, office buildings, and housing blocks. This was a metropolis compared to the tiny colonial settlement Scylla had been born and raised on, and it would have stunned her as much as the view from outside but for the obvious state of decay and disrepair that was evident all around her. Calix Gate Station may have once been a shining city under glass, but its former high-rises were dingy and faded with age, and the spaces between them were filled with more hastily and cheaply assembled structures crammed into any open space. This wasn't just a place where people lived. It was a place where people were stranded, left behind by circumstance and the ships that were meant to continue their journeys to somewhere greener and more hospitable than the cold metal walls of a port station.
Stay close, Isla warned. Stations out this far don't like to spend a whole lot on security.
Isla was alert, her crest raised and eyes forever shifting, as they ducked and darted between shops and down alleyways. Along the way, Isla murmured occasionally to herself, as if mentally walking through an internal travel guide to the station. Now and then they'd pause for a moment as she discovered some detail was out of place or missing, mentally updating her internal atlas of the city. Scylla hurriedly followed along, long since lost after too many side alleys and odd shortcuts, and hoping only to keep pace and not lose sight of her guide. When at last Isla stopped, it was in front of a rather ramshackle dive of a place, welded together from corrugated metal and decorated with a flickering neon sign of a mohawked hyena woman and the words Den Mother in sharp, angular letters. The metal walls vibrated with the sound of angry guitars and thudding bass.
"Here we are, my favorite shop in the whole quadrant," Isla announced, with some note of pride in her voice. Scylla glanced skeptically at the bead curtain entrance and the display rack of spiked collars visible just beyond it, and hesitated.
Isla, I'm not sure this is...
Isla steamrolled past the remark. Come on, you'll love it. Just, behave. The owner is an ex of mine. She can be a little... intense. Scylla gulped and followed her inside. The interior was a chaotic warren of mismatched shelves, racks, and glass cases, loaded with everything from old mini-discs, leather, denim, band t-shirts, piercings, patches, and even lingerie and bondage gear, and all in tune with an aesthetic very quickly explained by the woman seated behind the till and absently scrolling through her datapad. She was powerfully built, broad-shouldered and thickly armed, and the spiked black mane running up her neck to the top of her head told Scylla this must be the woman from the sign out front. She wore a denim vest jacket with fishnet sleeves and matching spiked collars around her wrists and neck. Scylla could swear it looked like she'd even darkened the fur around her eyes just to add a touch of extra menace. Something about the woman's demeanor conveyed the aura of a concealed weapon. This was someone who was prepared to defend her den by any means. Behave indeed, Scylla thought. The owner glanced up briefly with a wary glower, but the intensity of the moment was instantly shattered by the sound of Isla's excited voice.
Kara!
She beamed, raising her arms in a gesture of either greetings or that of one approaching a potentially hostile force and wanting to convey harmlessness. A spark of recognition flashed against Kara's face. Her glower turned into a look of delighted surprise.
Isla!
She shouted back, before hopping the glass countertop and nearly tackling Isla into an embrace. She kissed Isla on the cheek and continued,
What the hell brings you all the way out here? Been a long time, you know.
There was a slightly dark tone to the last remark that could almost be mistaken for judgment.
Well, you know, freebooter life and all that, Isla replied, sheepishly running her hand across her crest.
Kara nodded.
I hear that. Why do you think I settled down here? So who's your friend?
Kara sized up Scylla, who was politely pretending to peruse a nearby rack.
Another stray the captain has decided to adopt, Isla replied in a sardonic tone. She's a good one. Did a real number on the crooks back on the Calyx mining colony.
A proper comrade, Kara nodded, her tone surprised and impressed.
Well then, what can I do for you two today? My friend lost her luggage back on Calyx and could use a wardrobe upgrade and some protection.
Scylla's ears shot straight up at this and her eyes widened.
Whoa, 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 she interjected, glancing at the entrance nervously before continuing in a hushed voice. You mean like a gun?
Isla laughed. Of course not. The captain would never let you bring a gun on board. You know what slugs do to a ship's hull? She grinned, a not quite successful attempt to ease Scylla's nerves.
Girl, you really are new to this, aren't you? Kara asked, purely rhetorically, and glancing reprovingly at Isla.
Isla grimaced apologetically as Kara rounded the corner and withdrew a display case from a locked and concealed compartment beneath it. Arrayed in the case was an assortment of small, handheld devices, each consisting of a cylindrical grip and a semicircular handguard lined on the outer side by a row of evenly spaced rectangular lenses. They came in a variety of styles with different materials, grips, lens designs, and control configurations.
This, Kara announced as she collected one of the devices and held it in her grip, is a claw, the weapon of the true freebooter. Those who still follow the code, anyway.
She activated the device with her thumb, touching a small activator at the junction between the backside of the grip and the handguard. The device sparked to life, and the front side of the handguard was surrounded by an aura of blue energy.
The claw is a directed energy weapon.
That blue field you see is charged with enough juice to knock out most anything shy of an angry Jaglin Grunox for at least the next 8 hours. Non-lethal, mostly, so long as you're careful with repeat shocks. She gestured for her two guests to stand back a bit. The claw follows in tune with the motions of the wielder. She gave the claw a downward swing and a slashing motion, and as she did, the energy of the field flared and then coalesced to match her motion by shaping itself into a wide, curved blade, not unlike a cutlass. She gave another motion, this time a thrust, and as she did so, the blade now flowed forward, transforming into a guitar-like punching dagger. A final move. This time a downward stroke, and again the energy field rushed to follow and as quickly as the motion could be completed had formed into that of a dagger. The tip of it tapped the countertop with a spark. You can also direct energy at range. Squeeze the grip and... She drew up her other hand to stabilize the weapon, and Zila watched with a shocked gasp as the bolt of energy shot out with a zap and a bang and crashed against the opposite wall with a briefly dramatic but ultimately harmless show of sparks and lightning. Zila stared in wonderment as Kara continued.
Now, it ain't especially accurate in ranged mode, and it takes a moment to recharge, but it's useful in a pinch. Isla here's a pretty good shot, caught me with it once. But it's that Elvis friend of yours who can really hit a flea off a dog's nose. Notice it didn't do squat to the wall over there. Mostly the claw won't do much to anything but people and especially sensitive electrical equipment. The idea is to preserve life and equipment alike. A ship full of holes is no good for salvage, and a ship full of bodies tends to anger the local authorities. Freebooters are thieves. Not killers. Well, the legit ones are, anyway.
Isla nodded.
We loot and leave. This just helps us keep out of trouble if things get nasty, she added, with the tone of seriousness that implied this was more than practical consideration, but a matter of honor.
Scylla gaped, fascinated and horrified at once by the glowing energy still dancing about Kara's hand. Kara grinned and switched it off, setting it back in the case.
Why don't you take a look?
Zila hesitantly stepped forward and glanced around the case. Sensing her slightly overwhelmed reaction, Isla spoke.
Don't stress it. Just choose the one that feels comfortable, like it's an extension of your paw.
Zila nodded and felt out a couple of devices before finally settling on one with a slightly contoured and angled grip, and a handguard that flared out near the thumb. It felt natural, her digits resting comfortably around it as if it were an old tool, its handle worn down to just the way she liked it.
Can I?
She asked, the actual question obvious. Kara nodded, and Isla stepped back to a safe distance as Scylla took a few awkward swings with the weapon. The blade of the energy field seemed to struggle to follow the jerky motion of the swings. It didn't look as fluid as Kara had made it seem, she noted to herself, blushing slightly at the clumsiness of her amateur display.
Guess I'll need some practice, she muttered sheepishly.
Isla smiled.
You'll get the hang of it, and Alvis is an excellent trainer.
Scylla grimaced. She hoped he'd be a gentler teacher than he was a greeter of new crew members. Scylla managed to round up a few acceptable articles of clothing, a new denim jacket, some synthcore band shirts, and a couple long skirts in black and red. She paid for the clothes and the claw, and she and Isla waved goodbye after asking for a recommendation for somewhere they could both grab a bite. As they made their way through the cramped alleyways, Isla reminded Scylla that it was best to keep the claw well concealed.
They're not strictly illegal, exactly, and lots of folks on the station like this are probably carrying worse, but you know Discpats. They don't tend to react too favorably to anyone who looks like they can defend themselves.
She laughed, genuine, but with a touch of bitterness. She was speaking from experience. Finally, they stopped at a stall selling dumplings filled with local mystery meat and veg alike. They each ordered a dozen, meat for Isla, something that was described, probably erroneously, as rock cabbage for Scylla, and a couple bottles of something cold and fizzy that neither could identify. They claimed a couple of low stools at a table just next to the stall, and Isla dug in with visible hunger and without ceremony, the first sign of any fatigue Scylla had seen in her all day. Scylla took a slower pace, lost in thought and slowly snacking on the surprisingly fishy-tasting cabbage dumplings, the weight of the claw in her inside pocket weighing more on her mind than her clothing. The encounter with Kara was another reminder that she was no longer in a little mining town anymore, and she found herself wondering just how far over her head she was in this already. She took a sip of her drink. It was cold, refreshing, slightly sour, and with a tangy hint of some kind of fruit she was just beginning to place when she heard a voice behind her. Scylla? She was startled to hear her own name, and tensed. She glanced up at Isla, who shook her head to indicate her own lack of recognition.
Sorry, it was Glassrunner, wasn't it?
Now she was very tense.
Thanks for listening, and for supporting Queer Science Fiction. The full text of this chapter is available on AO3, and the link is provided in the show notes. If you enjoyed this program, please do rate us, and be sure to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. This podcast is distributed via Anchor and available on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and many others. And a video version is also uploaded to the AC Danvers channel on YouTube. Until next time, this has been another episode of A Chip's Edge by AC Danvers. Safe flying, everyone!